إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، أرحب بكم جميعا ونواصل قراءتنا من كتاب المنحة الربانية في شرح الأربعين النبوية لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. I welcome all of you, and we're going to continue reading the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi by our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Salih al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى. It's been like a couple of weeks. What hadith we're in? Who remind us? I say 29, right? We started the hadith 29? نور الدين، ماذا عندك؟
هذا أول مرة أنا هذا أول مرة لي، هذا الدرس
أول مرة لك؟ هذا الدرس؟ كيف يعني؟ طيب، لعل وإحنا بدأنا هذا الحديث، الحديث 29. We began, alhamdulillah, in the previous class, the hadith number 29. I'm going to read the hadith once again. That the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says, هذا حديث عظيم. This is a great hadith. So we pay attention to it. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. قال لقد سألتني عن عظيم وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله عليه. تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة، والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار، وصلاة المرء وصلاة الرجل في من جوف الليل. قال ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون من سورة السجدة. ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر كله وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ قلت بلى يا نبي الله. فأخذ بلسانه قال كف عليك هذا. فقلت يا نبي الله وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال ثكلتك أمك يا معاذ، وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. This is a great hadith. Pay attention to it, inshallah. On the authority of Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me of an act, something that I do, which take me into paradise and keep me away from the hellfire. See, that's why this hadith is great. We hear because we want to make it to the Jannah and escape the hellfire. Okay? So here is Mu'ad ibn Jabal. He asked the Prophet ﷺ this question, very important question. Tell me, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, tell me about something if I do it, where I will enter Al-Jannah and I will be saved from the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, you have asked me about a major matter, something very important. Yet it is easy for him for whom Allah Almighty makes it easy. Okay, and then he said to him, those the things that will enter him to the Jannah and keep him away from the hellfire. He said, you should worship Allah, associating nothing with him. You should perform the prayers, establish the prayers, and pay the zakat, fast in the month of Ramadan, and make the hajj, pilgrimage to the house. Then he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not show you the gates of goodness, the gates of good? And then the Prophet ﷺ, he answered that question and he said to him, fasting, which is a shield, charity, which extinguishes sin as water extinguishes fire, and the praying of a man in the depths of night. Then he recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayah 16 in Surah As-Sajdah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the righteous of his slaves, and he says, they are who forsake their beds to cry into their Lord in fear and hope, and spend of that which we have bestowed on them. No soul know what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not tell you of the peak of the matter, its pillar and its topmost part? He said, Mu'adh said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, the peak of the matter is Islam. The pillar, its pillar is the prayer, and its topmost part is jihad. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, shall I not tell you of the controlling of all that? That which control have control of all that? I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And he took hold, the Prophet ﷺ took hold of his tongue and says, restrain this, guard this, meaning the tongue. Upon hearing that, Mu'ad said, radiallahu anhu, O Prophet of Allah, will what we say be held against us? The Prophet ﷺ said, may your mother lose you or be bereaved of you, O Mu'ad. Is there anything that get the people on their faces and throw them on their faces, or he said, on their noses into hellfire, other than the harvests of their tongues, meaning that which they say? And this hadith already by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and he said it is Hasan Sahih. We began reading to you the explanation of this hadith. It was the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he said this hadith is a great hadith, in which he mentioned in it the path that leads to the Jannah, the things that we should do that leads to the Jannah, and the actions we do that not only that we enter al-Jannah, but inshallah we'll be saved from the hellfire. The Shaykh says, because every Muslim, that's what he wants, that's his goal. Our goal is to be in the Jannah and not to be in the hellfire. You see, that's the goal. So Mu'ad, he asked about this, how to achieve this, how to be from the people of Jannah and not to be from the people of the hellfire. How to be amongst the successful, not to be amongst the losers and those who are destroyed, al-iyadu billah. He says, because everything is made clear for us in this deen of Allah, the path that leads to safety and the path that lead to destruction. They are made clear to us in the Quran and the Sunnah, so that we can, if we want safety for ourselves, and if he wants the Jannah, we have to work for it. Cannot buy a spot in the Jannah because you have money here in dunya. Not going to happen. Just because you come from a noble tribe, or rich family, and you think you can go anywhere you want in this dunya, and it's not going to happen like that in the hereafter. You got to, the only way it's going to happen is by following the path that leads to the Jannah and staying away from the many paths that leads to the hellfire, rayyadu billah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to Mu'ad, you have asked about a great matter. Because he asked him, what was the question that Mu'ad asked the Prophet ﷺ?
Show me the way.
Naam?
Nah.
The acts, Inam, he says, Akhbirni bi'amalin. Inform me about acts, actions that I will perform that get me to the Jannah and keep me far away from the hellfire. Inam. The Shaykh says, because people, they will enter al-Jannah by what they earn in this life. by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people get to the hellfire because of what they've done in this life as well. Nobody going to get to the Jannah or the hellfire because of their colors or because of what country they come from. No. Regardless what color you're on, what country you came from, being rich or poor in this life, these the actions. What's taken into consideration is the actions. Righteous actions and evil actions. Okay? قال له وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله عليه. When the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard the question of Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, he said to him, you have asked about a great matter. But then he said to him, but it is easy for those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for them. Because being upon this deen and being upon the sunnah, especially in times of fitan and trials and tribulations and shahawat, is not easy. You got to make some sacrifice, you got to strive hard. That's why it is easy for those that Allah made it easy for them. Some people, man, they struggling to just be on the path. Some other people, alhamdulillah, they own it and they're comfortable. See? It's from Allah. The easiness, may Allah make things easy for us. Qala, فَإِنَّهُ يَسِيرُ مَا عِظَمِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسِرُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ لِأَنَّ الدِّينَ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ دِينٌ سَمْحٌ لَا حَرَجُ فِيهِ وَلَا مَشَقَّةٌ وإنما هو دين يتمشى مع قدرات الإنسان من غير تكلف ومن غير تساهل وتضييع. شيخ صالح الفوزاني says, because the deen of Allah, this religion of Islam, this beautiful religion of Islam, and all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an easy religion, is a religion of easiness, okay, and leniency. Allah didn't put no hardship on us and no difficulty on us in this, in what He has legislated for us. The rulings and the regulations, they go along with the abilities of the people. If you cannot do it this way, there is another way. Do it the way you can, you're able to do. No hardship and no difficulties. But also, this doesn't mean that the deen is easy and lenient, that the person don't pray and don't fast and commit haram. And when somebody say, yeah, akhi, you must say, akhi, deen is easy. Come on, you don't talk to me. The deen is easy. No, this is not what he means. It doesn't mean that it's easy, don't practice it. Some people don't pray. They listen to haram, to music. They lie, riba. And then when somebody say, akhi, you're Muslim, deen. They say, akhi, the deen is easy. You guys making everything difficult. No, this is not how we understand. The easiness meaning that you act upon what Allah has commanded, but if it gets difficult for you, then what? You should know there is an easier way in the legislation. You don't come up with your own what's easy for you. Not praying at all and say, oh, the deen is easy. No, meaning, for example, we are commanded to stand in a prayer, in the obligatory prayers. But someone cannot stand, what they do? They sit, alhamdulillah. If they cannot sit, they lay down. Ramadan, you fast, but somebody is sick, cannot fast. Somebody tell him, no, you have to fast, you're Muslim. No, don't fast. Alhamdulillah, because the deen is easy, this is how we understand it. فَهُوَ طَرِيقٌ سَهْلٌ لَكِنْ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, to act upon Islam, and to fulfill the obligations, and to obey Allah, to obey His Messenger, is easy. But for those that Allah made it easy for them. That's why we have to ask Allah to make these things easy for us. أَمَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَسِّرْهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ صَعْبٌ. He says, as for those people that didn't make things easy for them, Islam and fulfilling the obligations, it become difficult for them. Very, it's a big burden on them. Because they didn't have taysir from Allah. Allah didn't make things easy for them. قال ولذلك الطاعات أشق ما تكون على النصوص الكسالى. When you look at the lazy people, those who are lazy, actions of worship are very like a mountains on their shoulders. For instance, the salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. For example, the salat, it's so heavy. on the people except for those who have khushu'. You see? Some people, salat, oh, it's a big burden. Oh, salat again. They stand in behind the imam. And if the imam recites what duha, it's like he recites Baqarah 3 times. They like so long, and they like, ah, oh, the imam, man, it's difficult. Why? Because they're not tasting the sweetness of that ibadah, you see? But the same person, Allahu A'lam, he's going to go watch a game, ball game, 3 hours, 4 hours, no problem. He is enjoying it, you see? Because he loves his mind into that. As for the one that Allah has given him khushu' and iman, and he knows the virtue of the salat, subhanAllah. Now when the salat is over, he's like, he missed the salat. He can wait until the next salat comes in. You see? قال فالصلاة على الخاشعين تكون قرة أعينهم وسهلة عليهم وأما المتكاسلون فتكون ثقيلة وكبيرة عليهم مع أنها ركعات لا تستغرق وقتا طويلا ولكن لا تشق عليهم. He said, salat is so easy for those who have khushu' in it. It is the comfort of their eyes actually. They love it. They enjoy being in a salat. You see? They taste the sweetness of that ibadah. They love it. They enjoy themselves in the salat. You see? It's the comfort of their eyes. He says, as for the lazy and people, you know, kusala, they're not taking this deen seriously by learning it and having correct understanding. That salat, it's so difficult on them. So heavy. It's a big thing. It's a burden, become a burden. This salat, that is the comfort of some people. They, if something bothers them, they go to the salat. These people, when salat comes, they call the iqamah. It's like a mountain now. They have to carry a mountain on their shoulders. A burden. Even though it's only a few rakat. Doesn't take much time. A little time. But still, it's a big deal. But the same person is going to go hiking, climb a mountain. 2-3 hours spent, I don't know what, but the salat, so easy, subhanAllah, but it's difficult for them. قال وكذلك سائر الطاعات. The Sheikh said, that's an example. He said, you can use the same example as related to the rest of the acts of obedience, who's supposed to give us joy and comfort. But for certain people, it's a burden, وَلَيَّا بِاللَّهِ. He says, فَإِنْفَاقُ الْمَالِ مَثْلًا يَسْعُبُ عَلَى مَنْ لَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ إِيمَانٌ لَكِنَّ أَهْلَ الْخَيْرِ وَالْإِيمَانِ يَسْهُلُ عَلَيْهِمْ ذَلِكَ فَيُنْفِقُونَهُ عَلَى مَحَبَّتِهِ طَاعَةً لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَكَذَلِكَ حَالُهُمْ فِي سَائِرِ الْأَعْمَالِ. The Shaykh says, also spending your wealth, spending the world. The one who doesn't have iman, doesn't strong in his iman, it's difficult for him to give his money. Very difficult. Difficult to give sadaqah. Some even difficult for them to take care of their families. That's his wife and children, and he's like, he's holding. Difficult. His parents, difficult. Don't want to give a dime. You see? But other people who are upon good and upon righteousness and istiqamah, the people who are strong in iman, it's easy for them to give their wealth. Even though they love it too, they like their money. But they're giving it why? Out of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? Because they give that which they love to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who? What makes the difference? Iman. And subhanAllah, it's amazing. Sometimes you find a person don't have no money. His life is from paycheck to another paycheck. Maybe he's every month or every other month he has to borrow money to pay the bills. But when he hears somebody need, an orphan, a widow, somebody, Bismillah, tafaddal, here. And now you find, what makes this person do this? He could like, man, I don't have much money, man. I can't. Now he give. To get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman. But you find somebody got a lot of money and cannot give anything. He's the one who's supposed to be given a lot. So it's very important. قَالَ وَكَذَلِكَ حَالَهُمْ فِي سَيْرِ الْعَمَلِ. This is the same case in the rest of actions of worship. قَالَ أَمَّا قَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. So now the answer the Shaykh is going to begin to explain the answer of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, because the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in his response and his answer to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and it is for us, by the way, what are these things that if you act upon them, you'll be from the people of Jannah and you won't be from the people of the hellfire? The first thing, قَالْ تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. First thing he says, you worship Allah and you do not associate with Him anything or anyone in worship. Tawheed versus shirk. You see? قَالْ هَذَا الْأَصْلِ. This very important principle and fundamental principle in Islam, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. He said, you worship Allah alone and you do not associate with Him anyone in worship. قال هذا هو التوحيد. See, this is توحيد. That's what gets you to the Jannah, توحيد. لم يكتفي بقوله تعبد الله بل قال ولا تشرك به شيئا كقوله تعالى واعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا في سورة النساء. He says, now keep in mind that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he didn't say to Mu'ad, worship Allah, and that's it. No, he said to him, worship Allah, and he told him, and do not associate with Him anything or anyone in worship. This is the same as the statement of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, verse 36, وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship none but Allah, and do not associate with Him anything in worship. You see? قال لماذا؟ قال لأن العبادة لا تصح ولا تقبل إلا مع الإخلاص. فإذا دخلها الشرك فإنها تبطل ولا تنفع صاحبها. وَلَا يَقْبَلُهَا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. It says, because the ibadah, the act of worship, this worship that we do, is not accepted except with ikhlas, with sincerity. Tawheed. If the shirk is mixed with this, the act of worship is void and nullified. Null and void. And it will be of no benefit for that person, even if they were doing it for so many years in their lives, but since it is mixed with shirk, no benefit whatsoever. Allah would not accept it. فَالْمُشْرِكُ لَا يُقْبَلُ عَمِنْهُ عَمَلٌ وَكُلُّ عَمَلٍ خَلَطَهُ شِرْكٌ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ. So the mushrik who is upon shirk, Allah does not accept anything from them. Even if they do good actions, they give sadaqah, they fast, they nice to the people, some of them pray, Allah does not accept anything from them. Look how dangerous the matter is. So he said, any action, if it's mixed with shirk, it is not accepted. Allah does not accept it. Now you find some Muslims, they pray, fast, hajj, sadaqah, but then they believe in the graves. They go to the grave, and a dead person in the grave, and they call upon them. That's shirk akbar that takes out of Islam. That salat, they pray Quran, they read, that we have no benefit for them because they have shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La in ashrakta la yahbatanna amaluk. If you were to commit shirk, all your deeds will be void. No benefit. That's why you find the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in every time and place, they mention this asal tawheed. Because that's the foundation. Even if somebody is upon shirk, they believe that somebody else can help them or assist them or cure their parents or give them children, that's shirk akbar that takes out of Islam. Even if they pray and in the first row they fast Ramadan and they made hajj, it will be no benefit. That's why I find Ahl Sunnah, the ulama, they're sincere, they want good for the people. They constantly talk about tawheed and warn against shirk. Because if somebody is upon shirk, nothing. Even if they pray and they fast every Thursday and Monday, it's not going to be no benefit with shirk. Unless they have the correct aqidah. That's why you find the ulama, as-salaf, they want good for the people. They are merciful to them. They focus on, yes, they teach people salat, fasting, hajj, good manners, transactions, how to do politics too, according to the Shara. But the main thing is the foundation. The foundation is the Aqeedah. They make sure that the Aqeedah is upon Tawheed and free from Shirk. And that's what distinguished the Da'wah Salafiyyah, Da'wah Ahl Sunnah Al-Jama'ah, from the Da'wat Al-Batila. الأحزاب والمبتدعة لا يهتمون بالتوحيد وبالعقيدة لا يهتمون إخوان المسلمون لا يهتمون بجماعة التبليغ الصوفية لا يهتمون الخوارج. You find that this is one of the things that many things the most important point that distinguish أهل السنة والجماعة who follow the way of the Salaf from the deviant groups whether it be جماعة التبليغ whether it be الصوفية إخوان المسلمين the Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, and the like, because the other groups, they don't care about Tawheed. They say, Tawheed, man, one lecture, it's okay. One lecture. That's why you see in their countries, these Jama'at we just mentioned, you find in their countries it is Shirk. But they don't talk about it. And that's Ghish. That's deception. They're deceiving the people. They want to just like focus on the ruler. Our ruler does. Okay, what the ruler? Ruler, he just took the money. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, he's going to face Allah. Is he going to take the Jannah from you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Okay, he took the money, the mashallah. We don't want them to take the money. Inshallah, we hope that the rulers be just. But if they are like that, so how are you going to act? No, you get to act according to what Allah has legislated. And you find these jama'at, like Jama'at al-Ikhwan, mainly because they are political, and they don't focus on Tawheed or Aqeedah. And the people are ignorant, masakeen, they don't know Tawheed, some of them are still upon Shirk, and then they go out and get killed in those demonstrations, and they say Jama'at al-Ikhwan, what they say? They martyrs. Martyrs upon Shirk? Really shaheed, and they don't even know Tawheed? It's very important for us this is, to know, this is how you know the ulama. The ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they focus on this very important topic. Why? Because this is the topic of the prophets and the messengers. That's why. Every prophet and a messenger, this is his main subject matter, topic, Tawheed versus Shirk. Because anything else will be of no benefits without this one. If person, Sheikh al-Albani says, when he was talking about, subhanAllah, many Muslims these days, people who they say they're Muslims, but they commit Shirk. Shirk that take out of Islam by invoking other than Allah, slaughtering for other than Allah, fearing other than Allah, believing, they have believed that their aqidah, that other than Allah brings good, give them children, health, cure their loved ones. That's why they take, when their babies are very sick, instead to go to the doctor, what are they going to take them to the Sayyid, to the graveyard? You see? And the baby is dying. They're like, no. And if when the baby died, they're like, oh, because the sheikh wants him to die. Look at this ignorance. Look at this ignorance. And then when another son gets sick, they bring him there, he died. That's why they, in the stories they say that some of the men, they lose like 3, 4, 5 children. And they still think, oh, because the sheikh, that wali, that he wants those children. And they don't look at their negligence. Instead to take the baby to the doctor. Now they take them to this and they die. Now take them to the doctor. Says, no, doctor, he's not going to do the sheikh. He will cure him. And that's shirk. Shirk akbar. The doctor, he followed the means. The doctor doesn't cure you, by the way. Okay, the cure is from Allah. وَإِذَا مَرَدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ Shifa and the cure is from Allah. But you have to follow the means, the proper means. Aina. طيب قوله وتقيم الصلاة. After he mentioned to him the Tawheed, and this is the first asl, he said, and you establish the prayer. هذا هو الركن الثاني تقيم الصلاة التي هي عمود الدين. So this is the second pillar from the pillars of Islam after the shahadatain, the Tawheed, and mutaba'a for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then to establish the prayers, and this is the عمود الدين, the main pillar of that the religion stands upon. Okay? The Salat. والمراد بالصلاة الصلوات الخمس. And what is intended by the prayer, to establish the prayer, the Sheikh says the five obligatory prayers. What are they, the five obligatory prayers? As-Subh, which is mainly known as Fajr, and الظهر عصر مغرب عشاء. وقال تقيمها ولم يقوم ولم يقل تصلي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, وتقيم الصلاة. In English, you establish the prayer. He then said to him, perform the prayer. قال لأن المطلوب إقامة الصلاة لا شكل الصلاة. رحمك الله. He said, what is requested from us, from the people, is that to establish the prayer, not just moves, you make in ruku, sujood, assalamu alaykum. No. وَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّمَا الصَّلَاةِ الْقَائِمَةِ الْمُشْتَمِلَ عَلَى أَرْكَانِهَا وَشُرُوطِهَا وَوَاجِبَتِهَا وَسُنَنِهَا هَذِهِ هِيَ الصَّلَاةِ الْقَائِمَةِ. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said to him, you establish the prayer. He just said to him, you perform the prayer. There's a big difference between a person who is establishing the prayer or a person who is just there making moves behind the imam, or when he pray by himself. Because to establish the prayer, he says you have to fulfill its conditions and its pillars and its obligatory elements. That's how you perform. And the sunnah, this is how you establish the prayer, performing it right, not just moves, making moves. So there are people, if there is somebody who don't know the shurut as-salah, he don't know. He don't know what is the pillars. So how this person really is establishing the prayer, he don't even know what it takes for that. Alright? Right or wrong? It's like someone who want to build a house, but he has no clue what he needs, the material. I'll do it. That's okay, I build a house. Okay, how much bricks we need? He's like, bricks? You need bricks to build a house? He just say, go home, man. You ain't going to build anything. The same way, somebody is like, I make you a tuna sandwich. All right? But he don't know ingredients. What it takes to make a tuna sandwich? What is the main ingredient? Tuna. And what else?
Bread.
And what else?
Mayonnaise.
Lettuce, tomatoes maybe. You know? But this man is like, look, I'm going to make it. You look at the counter, he got nothing. He got no tuna, no bread. And he's like, well, how are you going to make it? Don't worry about it. Just sit. I see nothing but two eggplants in there, brother. How are you going to make it? You see, you don't know. I have no clue. Likewise, if somebody don't know the conditions, don't know the pillars of salah, don't know the obligatory elements of salah, so how this person really is praying correctly? You see? It's very important, Yahuan. And I'm not going to ask these questions because I don't want to put nobody on the spot. So you ask these questions yourselves. You got to ask yourself now. You're supposed to be already ask yourself, do I know these conditions? How many conditions? How many pillars? How many obligatory elements? What are they? It's very important. You know, Abdul Rahman, how many conditions? MashaAllah. Mahmoud, you know the conditions of the prayer? Some of them. Give me three.
You have to be clean.
Naam. Tahara min al-hadath. Okay. Help your brother. And izalatun najasat. Naam. That's number two. Not only the place, the body, and your clothing. Now, another one.
You have to be a
wudu. That's clean. Wudu is a part of that. At-tahara min al-hadath, meaning that you have to be upon purification, whether by wudu or tayammum or ghusl. Now, facing the qibla is one of the conditions. Let's get the conditions, okay? Facing the qibla. Naam.
Al-niyya
first. Al-niyya, ahsant. Al-niyya, you have to have a good intention because Allah does not accept bad intention. You have to do it for Allah. Naam, what else?
Sanity.
Sanity, naam. You got to be sane. Naam.
Huh?
Qiraat al-Fatiha. Now you took us to the pillars, see? And we should not mix them too. Now we're still in the conditions. Qiraat al-Fatiha is pillar from the pillars. Now we're still in the conditions. Maybe you thought we already went to the pillars. Now we're still in the conditions, Abdullah. Muslim, na'am, Islam. Na'am. To reach the age of discernment, the tamiz. What else? Al-aql is that one, the aql sanity, they mentioned that. What else? Duhul al-waqt, ahsant, duhul al-waqt. You gotta pray in the time. Huh?
Properly dressed,
satr al-awra, this is. That's it. Qibla? He says the Qibla. How many so far we mentioned? 9. You counted only 8? 9. Al-aql, sanity. Al-Islam, to be Muslim. At-tamyiz, the age of discernment, right? At-tahara min al-hadath, meaning to be on purification. Izalat al-najasat, removal of impurities from 3 places, from the place of prayer, from clothing, and from the body. Satr al-awra, you have to be correctly addressed. And facing of the Qibla, and the dukhul al-waqt, and the niyyah. 9. Right? Now, those are 9. And how many are the pillars? 14. Now, that's good. That's a good example. And the obligatory elements? 10. Day 10. And the sunan are many. So we need to know these things. Because if we are not fulfilling, we're just moving. Allah. Salaam. You got to do the it right. Not just coming here and making moves. Ruku', sujood. Anybody can do that. Babies do that too. 3-4 years old, they stand next to you, they make ruku', sujood. Usually they don't finish it. If you bring a non-Muslim who don't know anything, he just took shahada. He stand, make wudu. He don't know, you tell them, look, akhi, now you're Muslim, alhamdulillah, you just made wudu. Just follow us. But he has no clue what's going on. But you've been Muslim for years, still have no clue what the salat is? Now we have to learn these things. Now, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to him, you establish the prayer. There's a big difference between just praying, making moves. And salat is not an exercise, man. You don't know what you're doing, this sunan, the shurud, the conditions, then the pillars and the like. لعل وقت الصلاة وقت الأذان يا نور الدين. They says 8:12. Hey, now it's 8:14. أذن يا نور الدين الله يحفظك. Right, it's time, right?
Yes.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
حي على الصلاة
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
حي على الفلاح
لا حول ولا قوة إلا
بالله الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله
So our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Saleh Hafidhahullah, he says, as for the person who, when they perform prayer, they don't know what's on. They're not fulfilling the conditions, pillars, wajibat. So this salat was not going to be of any benefit in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him also, وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةِ. To give the zakat, this is the third pillar from the pillars of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made zakat obligatory. And it is mentioned with the salat in many ayats. It shows the importance of zakat. And it is a well-known amount of wealth that is taken from certain people and given to the poor amongst them. And the poor and the needy amongst the eight categories of recipients of zakat that Allah mentioned in the ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah. So this is a great ibadah because it's an act of worship that is with the wealth, with the mal, and the salat with the body. The maqala wa tasawm Ramadan, the Shaykh didn't go in details with zakat because alhamdulillah we're still studying the zakat in the Mulakhas al-Fiqhi on Mondays. Tomorrow we're going to continue on this chapter of zakat. Also the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Mu'ad, and we fast Ramadan. This is the fourth pillar from the pillars of Islam. 1 month in the year. And it is an obligation. It's not an option to fast in Ramadan. It's an obligation. And it is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And he said to him, also, وَتَحُجْ الْبَيْتِ. Of course, the Shaykh, he didn't go in details for fasting because that's in other books of fiqh, you find this in detail. He said, and also, from the things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, you perform the Hajj. And this is the fifth pillar from the pillars of Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh, he said, he mentioned to him the pillars of Islam. And the Hajj is only once in a lifetime, not once a year, once in a lifetime for the one who has the ability to do so. As Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا Surah Ali Imran. It is upon the people to make the Hajj for the house of Allah, for those who have the ability to do so. He says, السَّبِيلَ الزَّادُ وَالرَّاحِلَ. The Shaykh says, as he mentioned in other hadith, that the ability here, meaning you have your provisions and you have the ride to make it there. Mean that you have to have enough to go to make it to Hajj, and while you're in Hajj, and to come back to your home. Okay? And he says, as for the ride, it depends on the time where the people are. In our times, alhamdulillah, people, they go on Hajj on cars, buses, people, they go on boats, on planes. Before, people, they used to go on foot, used to go on camels, horses. They didn't have no cars or planes or buses. But we, in our time, we are, alhamdulillah, people go on by plane. Some people, they drive, like the people right there, like in people from Yemen, they drive. Many of them drive. Some maybe they fly, but many people drive their own cars. They catch buses. People from Kuwait, they drive, or they catch the plane. People from Egypt, they take the boat. A lot of boats go from Egypt and from Sudan. And they do boats. All they do is to cross the Red Sea. Anyway, the Sheikh says, according to the ability. And if someone doesn't have the ability, for example, they don't have money, then there's nothing against them. But if someone has the money, the Shaykh, he says, has the money, but they are sick, they cannot travel. Then if that sickness is not permanent, okay, then they have to wait until they feel better and then make Hajj. But if someone is sick, terminally ill, and that illness does not allow them to travel, to make Hajj, then they don't make Hajj, and somebody make Hajj on their behalf. Likewise, under this ruling, an old person, they are old that they cannot travel. Even they have the means that they are not, it's not upon them to make Hajj, but somebody else can make the Hajj on their behalf. So the Hajj is once in a lifetime for the one who has the ability, and alhamdulillah it is mentioned in details in the books of fiqh. In the books of fiqh, it is mentioned in details, alhamdulillah. And if a person perform Hajj more than once, then it become optional for him. Alhamdulillah, it's good. Become tatawwa. What's obligatory is once. It's not like Salat. Pray one Asr and whatever Asr is optional. No, you gotta pray Asr every day of your life. Likewise, Ramadan. Nobody say, oh look, fast one Ramadan is obligatory, and the other Ramadan is up to you, like Hajj. No, it's not like that. You gotta fast every Ramadan. Whenever Ramadan comes, you fast. If you cannot fast, then that's something else. But Hajj, no, Hajj is once a lifetime. If a person made Hajj once, then that's it. If they never went back to Hajj, it's okay. Even if they have healthy, they have money, but they never went back to Hajj, because if they go back, it's tatawwa, it's optional for them. Okay, it's of course that's increasing good. And we stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We'll continue the hadith. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.